Well, I'd invite you to turn with me now to the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. This is our second week in a new series where we're looking at Mark's accounts of the miracles of Christ, looking this week particularly at the cleansing of a leper in verses 40 through 45 of that chapter. But before I read it, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. It is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. It is sweeter than honey, yea, even drippings from the honeycomb. By it is your servant warned and saved from presumptuous sins. Father, would you plant this word in our hearts that we might not sin against you? Would you illuminate it to our minds that we might see the glory of Christ and through him come to know you better as your spirit works within us? Bless to us this reading and the preaching of your holy, inspired, and inerrant word. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, hear God's word. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. All flesh is as grass, and all its loveliness is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. When I was in seminary, taking preaching classes, you know, the fancy word for that is homiletics, I would challenge my teacher from time to time that he should pay more attention to Martin Lloyd-Jones's preaching method because he was my favorite preacher at the time. And I remember he responded to me one day. He said, "I love Lloyd-Jones, but please remember he's the same man who said the daily bath is an abomination." And I asked him to document this. Like, what's your source for that? Because I've read a lot of him. I've never seen that. I've never heard anybody quote that. He's like, "Just trust me," he said it. And, you know, it's, over the years, like, you have there's little things in the back of your mind that every once in a while you look up, just because it wasn't on the internet the last time I looked a couple years ago, but who knows, now it may be on there, the way knowledge on the internet grows. So that was one of those, just every once in a while I would Google Martin Lloyd-Jones bath abomination, stuff like that. And I finally found the quote like a year ago. And this is what he said. He was about a 26-year-old young man when he said this. This was in 1925, so indoor plumbing was becoming a regular thing, starting to become a regular thing at that point. So, quote, "The modern method of installing a bath in each house is not only a tragedy, but it has been a real curse to humanity. If I had to spend a lifetime with a companion who had one bath a day, or with one who had one bath a year, I should unhesitatingly choose the latter, because a man's soul is more important than his skin," Lloyd-Jones says. Does he have a point? You know, Adolf Hitler was obsessed with cleanliness. One of the ways he rose to power in Germany was that he promised to clean up the country. How many times have you heard that kind of language? I'm gonna clean everything up. Early on in his reign, Hitler, the way he gained support, because one of the first things he did in his reign was he cleaned up the factories. He improved working conditions for common workers. He fumigated and killed all of the rats and all the cockroaches, literally cleaning up the country. And nobody wants to work around cockroaches and rats, so he gained more and more support. Another fun fact about Hitler, he was the anti-Martin Lloyd-Jones. He took 4 baths a day, habitually. Well, one of the interesting things about our passage is, when this leper comes to Jesus, he doesn't say, if you will, you can heal me. He says, if you will, you can make me clean. You can cleanse me. This makes the passage immediately relevant because not everyone needs to be healed every day of their life, but everyone needs to be cleansed. That's why we take those abominable daily baths or however often you take them. Cleanliness is such an interesting subject. Have you ever done something morally that made you feel dirty? Maybe even put it that way. Like, you know, you go into a seedy place, maybe a place you're not supposed to be, and you come out thinking to yourself, I feel dirty walking out of that place. Why do we say things like that? So that's why John Newton says, when the poor leper's case I read, my own described I feel. Sin is a leprosy indeed, which none but Christ can heal. Jesus' miracles in the Gospels are called signs, and Newton understood this. When Jesus heals a blind man, he's not just performing a physical act. Like, this is meant to point to a spiritual reality. That's why in Amazing Grace he says, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. He saw the miracles of the Bible, and he said, just as that blind man was literally healed, so me in my spiritual blindness and in my sin, God has now healed me. I can see spiritually now. I can see the glory of God. The same thing goes with leprosy. Newton looks at leprosy and says, when I read the case of the leper, I sympathize with it because it's really about me in a sense, because I'm spiritually leprous. I need spiritual cleansing just like my body needs physical cleansing. Sin is a kind of leprosy, but it's a leprosy of the heart. It's an uncleanness of the soul. It's the thing that makes you feel dirty on the inside when you've done something wrong. You know, after Lady Macbeth kills King Duncan, you remember what happens if you've seen the play or read the story. After she's washed the blood off of her hands, it says for, I think, a quarter of an hour, she stood there rubbing her hands together, saying, out, damned spot, out, just over and over. That word damned is a technical word there. It's not a curse word. Because those spots, the spot that she was trying to wash away wasn't really physical blood on physical hands. It was a blotch that she had put in on her soul by committing murder. And she's struggling with the fact that that spot, that damned spot, it's like a little piece of hell now attached to her soul that she doesn't know how she can get rid of. So that's the question. Those damned spots, those leprous spots that attach to our soul because of our sin, what do we do about those? Well, I want to look at 3 points to work toward an answer. We need to look that sin, as spiritual leprosy, it contaminates us. It is contagious, but also it can be cleansed. Number one, it contaminates us. Verse 44, Jesus says, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. So the passage that we read earlier in the Old Testament reading in Leviticus sets the stage for this. Lepers were ceremoniously unclean. They were exiled. They were literally quarantined. You know, we're living in a time when talking about quarantine a lot. In the Bible, sick people are quarantined. Lepers are quarantined. They're forced to live outside of the camp, away from the city, away from the presence of God's people, and metaphorically, figuratively, this is imaging, actually living away from God. They weren't even supposed to come around people, much less to come around God. Leprosy makes you unclean. When the leper sees someone approaching, you walk up to me after the service, before you get within 10 feet of me, I'm going to put my hands to my mouth and start yelling, unclean, unclean, to warn you that you're not to come near to me. Why is that so dangerous? Why do you have to yell that? Well, because you touch a leper, not only are you liable to catch the leprosy and become a leper yourself, but regardless, you become ceremonially unclean, at least for a period of time. Since uncleanness in this way, like again, it's a living metaphor for a sinner being cut off from God and deemed unfit for the presence of God. If you follow that metaphor out, what you see is that sin is something like this. Sin is the thing that causes the little voice inside of your head that shouts, unclean, unclean. That's what a guilty conscience is. Or sin is the thing that causes those doubts that creep up in your mind that tell you, whatever you are not fit for the presence of God. That's how you follow the metaphor. In a great little movie called The Drop, there's a character named Bob Saganowski who commits two murders in his life, and he's reflecting on that, and he says there are some sins that you commit that you can't come back from, no matter how hard you try. You just can't. It's like the devil is waiting for your body to quit because he knows. He knows that he already owns your soul. And then I think maybe there is no devil. You die, and God says, nah, you can't come in. You have to leave now. You have to leave and go away, and you have to be alone. You have to be alone forever. He realizes it's not the devil that he needs to worry about. It's God saying, you're unclean. You can't come into my heaven. You have to go away. You have to go away and be alone forever. See, that's the life of the leper that we read in Leviticus. In a physical sense, he's cast off. You have to go away. You have to be alone. But even more important, cosmically, sin is that thing that causes us to spiritually be unclean and therefore unacceptable to God, and in which that's, how does Jesus picture those who are not allowed into heaven? He says, depart from me. Go away. I never knew you. So Saganowski realizes that the most dangerous thing, the most terrible thing you could ever face is God saying to you, go away. And see, that's what's happening to Lady Macbeth when she's saying, out, damn spot, out. She realized there's something now that she will never be able to live down, that will never go away. She's committed a sin that she'll never be able to live down. And what happens with that is the fear that God is not going to accept you. Why do you feel dirty when you do bad things? Because with every sin, you know that you just put another blotch on your character, another scab on your soul, and you can scrub your hands, but you can't scrub your soul. And if that's the case for you, it's a terrible way to exist. And one of the most interesting things I learned about in psychology is the study in modern psychiatry, specifically about the emotional effects of trauma, like PTSD and other forms of trauma, on your physical body. You know, there's a great book called The Body Keeps the Score that talks about that. That, like, people can have emotional wounds. You know, soldiers will go and be asked to do things that they never imagined themselves doing, like kill other human beings. And that's going to scar you. That is going to do something to you. And what the psychiatrists have found is it can have lasting physical impacts on you, not just emotional impacts on you. You can develop autoimmune disorders. You can even develop diseases because you just weren't meant to deal with this kind of trauma, this kind of conflict of conscience and the like. It's like even your body can, you know, sin can affect us so deeply, or trauma can affect us so deeply, that even it's like our bodies are trying to say, out with the damned spot, and trying to figure out a way to fix it. It's like, because it's like leprosy, you know, it could eat away at your skin. It literally ate away at your skin. And that's what a guilty conscience is. You know, a leprous conscience is, it cannibalizes itself. You know what it's like to have your conscience eat away at you. We say things, like that's a common phrase, my conscience is eating at me. And why do we say things like that? Because it's like leprosy. And maybe you still feel guilty about things you did a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 30 years ago. And it's been eating away at you for years and years and years. And maybe you go to therapy, and maybe you read self-help books, and maybe you recite daily affirmations. You know, G.K. Chesterton said about self-help books that self-help books are written by people who need help learning how to write books, because they offer no ultimate and lasting value. So you want healing, and so you look for it. But here's the thing. You need more than healing. What you actually need is cleansing, because if you don't get it, here's what's going to happen. The more it gnaws at you, it's actually like leprosy. It's going to become contagious. It's going to grow, and it's going to multiply, and that's going to extend. Well, that's number two. It's contagious. Look at verse 45 of the passage. He says, he went out, that is the leper, after he was healed, went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news. So he goes to spread the news that Jesus has cleansed him from his leprosy and he's no longer unclean. That word spread is an interesting choice of words by the author Mark, because it's like a viral term. How do you catch diseases? How do you catch a virus? Well, they spread. So now instead of spreading leprosy around, the leper is out spreading the good news about Jesus, who's the one who cleansed him from his leprosy. So what's happening? There's a principle there that whatever spiritually is happening inside of you is going to spread outside of you. He's spreading the message about Christ's cleansing power. So if you're stuck in your sin and have not been able to find cleansing for that sin will become more and more leprous, because you'll wallow in your own shame, you'll wallow in your own guilt, you'll kick the dog, you'll take it out on your kids and your coworkers that you haven't processed this stuff that's going on in the inside of you. You'll work to make the people that you work with miserable. Have you ever worked with people who you think it's their life's mission just to make sure everyone has a bad day that day? I have. Why do they do that? Because there's something on the inside of them. There's a damned spot there that they can't get rid of. And so they've got to take it out on everyone else. They've got to try to put spots on everyone else to compensate for their own lack. If your heart is filled with guilt and shame and anger and revenge, you're going to spread it. Because if you're miserable and corrupt and feeling cut off from God, you're going to want to make sure that everyone else feels miserable and corrupt and cut off from God. You'll want everyone to feel like a leper so that you won't feel out of place. I tell you, that's a lot of anger that we see in our culture. Let's make everyone a leper so I'll feel like I belong. Or perhaps perhaps I'm the clean one. You feel like a victim, so you have to turn other people into victims to make you feel better about yourself. You're beaten as a child, so you beat your child. Then he beats his child. And so the sins of the father are visited on the third and fourth generation. That's the way it works with sin. You know, just Jeffrey Epstein. I'm sure many of you are familiar with what's going on with him. It's fascinating what he did. You know, he's obviously feels terrible about himself and inadequate, and no telling what kind of guilt and shame was dominating his life. And so he inflicts harm on all these young girls. That's bad enough. But what's fascinating is that he was running like an immoral, I mean, not that any Ponzi scheme is moral, but he's running like this emotional, immoral Ponzi scheme at the same time, because the girls who are coming, you know, he says, here's $100 or whatever it is. Next time, come and bring a friend, and I'll pay them, and I'll pay you too. And so what do? The girls actually start recruiting for him others who can be abused by him. Why do you do that? Well, the damned spot. I did something horrible. I did something terrible. I'm sure they feel terrible about it. How do I deal with that guilt? How do I deal with that shame? Well, I'll recruit others to become guilty and shameful so that maybe I won't have to feel so bad about myself. I'll make everyone a leper so I won't feel out of place. That's the way sin is contagious. If you have not dealt with your sins with God, if you have, truly, I'm being very serious, some deep shame that you have not dealt with yet, the next time you're yelling at your wife, don't be shocked if there's some connection there that you didn't even realize was there. I mentioned that Hitler bathed four times a day, and you wonder why. What was he compensating for by keeping his body extra clean? So he cleans up the factories. You know how he cleaned up the factories? He fumigated for the rats and cockroaches. You know what he used to fumigate them? Zyklon B. You ever heard of that? A few years later, you know what he used Zyklon B for? He used it in the gas chambers. It started with killing the cockroaches and the rats. We're going to clean this place up. The next thing you know, it's killing millions and millions of people because of some lack and inadequacy in himself. You know, the gas chambers, he didn't call them gas chambers. You know what he called them? He called them disinfection baths. The Jews were told, you're going to take a shower. And they came in and got more than a shower. They got a disinfection bath because Hitler thought he was cleaning up the world. He was sanitizing the world. He was sterilizing the world by eliminating the existence of people. So be very careful, therefore, I would say, that your self-hatred and self-loathing because of your guilt and shame does not become contagious by manifesting itself not only in your own inner self-destruction, but in your being a part of the self-destruction of others. And you know, it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to spread this disease of sin and spiritual leprosy. We don't have to be racked with guilt and shame, eaten up with it, and taking it out on others. Because, point three, there is a cleansing for this leprosy. The leper comes to Jesus, and what does he say? If you will, you can make me clean. Jesus says, I will be clean. The word clean in Greek is katharizo, and it's the word from which in English we get catharsis. That's why Hitler was the monster he was. That's why we all are capable of becoming monsters, is because all this stuff on the inside of us, we need catharsis. You know, I think that sometimes it's why people enjoy scary movies, like enjoy horror movies. It's like you can sit there in the theater, when the theaters are open, and watch all the blood and guts be shed and watch the monster wreak havoc, and at the end the lights come up and you're still okay. So you get some kind of weird emotional release saying, I just saw Judgment Day and I'm not a victim. I'm walking out of here in one piece. We all need catharsis. We crave for catharsis, for some kind of emotional, spiritual release to tell us that everything is going to be okay. And that's what katharizo, it's a spiritual release. It's a purging. Jesus is saying, I'm going to purge the damned stain, if you will. I'm going to release you from its power. I'm going to give you release. And that's what you need. That's what I need. Either we're going to get catharsis from Christ, or we're going to spend our life destroying ourselves and others around us trying to get it other places that will never deliver. So how can you get that from Jesus? How can you be spiritually released from this leprosy of sin from Jesus? Well, we have a very clear picture of it in this passage. The first thing is, he trades places with the leper. Lepers are commanded to stay in quarantine, right? They have to stay in desolate places away from the city. But here this leper has violated this order in order to come and get around Jesus and his disciples. He goes into the city to see Jesus. And Jesus cleanses him. The word spreads about what Jesus has done because the leper becomes a preacher, so to speak. And so verse 45 of the passage, notice it says, Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. See the flip-flop? The leper who's out in desolate places comes into the city and becomes an evangelist. Jesus, who is now becoming so inundated with people wanting to be healed by him and wanting to hear him and see him, he has to go sneak out of town and go out into desolate places himself. But there's even a more profound trading of places that happens in the passage than that. Because in verse 42 it says, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him. He touches the leper. This was a bit of a no-no. That phrase, moved with pity, it literally means Jesus was moved with sympathy, or compassion is to feel someone else's pain. Sympathy is to sympathize with someone else's pain. It says he's filled with sympathy, and there's a good reason for this. It also says he stretched out his hand. The commentators will tell you there that was kind of a dramatic move, a dramatic gesture. It wasn't like he just slapped him on the back. Like he slowly stretched out his hand to touch him. And we have to put ourselves like imaginatively in that situation. Like we can't fathom what this would be like. I remember the first time since we've had the lockdowns. I was talking to my neighbor, and you know, we're not supposed to shake hands, and you're not supposed to hug, and you're not supposed to be within 6 feet of each other. And we got done talking, and he stuck out his hand like that. And I had that brief moment where I'm thinking, do I do this? Because we've been conditioned not to do it now, right? And I did. I reached out, and I shook his hand. I wasn't going to leave him hanging there. And here's Jesus. He's putting that hand out toward the leper. And you imagine his disciples are thinking, what on earth is he doing? This man, is he out of his mind? He's going to become unclean. He's going to get leprosy. How's the ministry going to continue if the rabbi becomes a leper? They've got to be cringing about this. But Jesus, he stretches out that hand and he touches the leper. But touching the leper doesn't make Jesus unclean. It actually makes the leper clean. See, in the law, the way it worked was you touch the leper, you become unclean. But in the gospel is, when Christ touches the leper becomes clean. And there's something else about that Jesus stretching out his hand. The phrase, stretched out his hands, it's used in another place in the New Testament. When Jesus says to Peter in John 21, you're going to go somewhere that you don't want to go, and you're going to be bound, and you're going to stretch out your hands. That's Christ talking about crucifixion, telling Peter, you're going to face the same fate, the same death that I faced by being crucified. Jesus stretching out his hand and touching this leper is a sign, like when the priest would lay his hand on the head of the scapegoat and impute the sins of the people to that scapegoat. It's a sign of the transfer of guilt. Jesus stretching out his hand and touching the leper is a picture of what he was going to do on the cross. Out with the damned spot, ultimately. He was going to take all of our guilt, all of our shame, all that stuff that gnaws away at us on the inside, all that stuff that shouts at us, unclean, unclean, all that stuff that tells us we're not fit for the presence of God. Jesus stretching out his hands on the cross, he was having all that laid upon himself and paying the penalty for it so that we could be clean, becoming unclean, if you will, becoming dirty so that we could be washed. John Stott says, this is a summary, not an exact quote, but he says something like, sin is us trying to take God's place. You know, eat of the tree and you'll become like God. Sin is us trying to take God's place. And salvation is God coming down to take our place. It's him trading places with the leper, taking the leper spots upon himself so that sinners might be made clean. And if you believe that, that's instant catharsis. It's like, let it go. All the dirt can be washed away. All the shame and guilt can be forgiven and can be removed from the sight of God as far as the east is from the west. I mean, imagine what our days would be like if, like even right now, you really felt like that dirt and that guilt and that shame was being cleansed by the gospel, by what Christ has done for us. That Jesus was like stretching out his hand right now to put it upon you and say, I will be clean. You experience that, here's what will happen. When you realize that you're clean, you're going to become contagious in a new way. Instead of spreading leprosy, you're going to be like this leper. You're going to go out and become contagious, spreading the good news about what Christ has done for you. You'll spread joy. You'll spread love. You will spread peace. You will spread happiness. That emotional release, that catharsis, that's what it's going to enable you to do. Instead of kicking the dog, I mean, you're going to be going out telling people that there is hope in a fallen world. Imagine a world like where endless cycles of anger in family could just end instantly because Christ lays his hand on you and says you're clean. where new beginnings, where you could start over even this day, as unclean as you may be filled, like all things could become new on the spot as Jesus lays out his hand on you and says, unclean. And then imagine a world of cleansed lepers telling everybody else the good news, that there's cleansing to be found in Christ. Instead of rotting away on the inside with our consciences gnawing at our souls, imagine that you can actually grow and be renewed and be built up day by day. Imagine instead of leprosy, we're spreading love. Instead of the plague, we're spreading peace. Do you want to live in that world? Do you want to live in that church? Then let's live in that church. Come sinners, seize the present hour, the Savior's grace to prove. He can relieve, for he is power. He will, for he is love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for cleansing these leprous souls. Thank you for comforting these uncomfortable consciences. Thank you for giving us hope that there is no sin so great that Christ's blood cannot bring us forgiveness. And there is no sin so small that Christ's blood can't bring us forgiveness. Thank you for the catharsis. Thank you for the relief of the gospel. And help us to remember that though bodily cleanliness and health profits a little, spiritual cleanliness and help profits very, very much. Help us to live this week as cleansed lepers, spreading the good news that no matter how deep the spot and how deep the stain, Christ will out it. We ask this in his name. Amen.